Oh God, close us in your word, so that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may wear the garments of faithfulness, so that others can see your glory, more beautiful than the splendor of Solomon. Our first reading is from Matthew 6, 7 through 21. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Our scripture reading continues in the sixth chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 22nd verse. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of God for the people of God. In the sermon from which today's scripture is taken, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continues to explain how to follow him, Now remember, he's talking to a large crowd of people from all walks of life. Last week, he went through a list of fairly counterintuitive blessings called the Beatitudes. This week, he teaches his followers how to pray, and he tells them not to be afraid. Do not be afraid. That is the single command most often given in Scripture, over 300 times. Virtually every time an angel appears, those are the first words out of its mouth. But people keep on being afraid in the face of things that they don't understand. This may be the most often given command, but I believe it's the least often obeyed. Then and now. At the same time, because it gets said so often, I have to believe that it's important. Today in our world, over 250,000 working age adults are unemployed right here in Ohio. That doesn't count the ones who've given up and stopped looking. Those of us who have jobs in the private sector know that we could be laid off at any time. And it doesn't matter what the commentators say the unemployment rate is, if it includes you. If you turn on the television or read news on the internet, you will, almost guaranteed, hear somebody trying to make you afraid. The news is full of bombings and shootings and riots and disappearances, and no place appears to be safe. There have been acts of mass violence in schools, shopping malls, even in church services. I hear a couple times a year from companies who want to charge this congregation a whole bunch of money to train our members to kill a stranger who makes us feel uncomfortable. Anti-anxiety medications and high blood pressure medications are through the roof for those people who can afford them. And here's this preacher saying Jesus said not to worry. Jesus' world must have been a lot different from ours, huh? Well, now that you mention it, yes. Yes, it was. In the first century world, the vast majority of people were subsistence farmers. That means that they usually grew enough for their own family to eat, but they weren't able to grow much more. They had to pay the temple taxes that paid for the priests and the upkeep on the temple. Then they had to pay the Roman tax collectors on top of that, however much the tax collector thought he could get. In a good year, they could scrape by. In a bad year, they had to choose between eating their seed corn and wondering if their family would starve before the crops came up. Life in town wasn't much better. They might have more money to spend, but their kids couldn't eat woodwork or pottery if there were no customers with money. There was no such thing as Social Security. There was no such thing as Medicare. Your only safety net was your children and the community. The number of beggars that Jesus keeps running into suggests that that safety net didn't work very well. Judea, where Jesus lived, was an occupied country. There were heavily armed Roman soldiers on the street. These soldiers were not locally recruited. They were Gauls, meaning Frenchmen or Germans, with Italian officers. They had no understanding of the Jewish religion or culture, and they didn't care. At the same time, they had power over the native Jewish people. You may remember hearing that a Roman soldier could force a native to carry his pack for a mile. That was official legal power. Unofficially, they did what they wanted with and to subject people. They had swords, other folks didn't. No one pretended that imperial subjects, like normal people in Judea, had any real rights. Everyone knew who had the real power. Jesus knew all that. He lived there too. When he was an infant, the Romans' puppet king, Herod, had sent soldiers to kill him, and he and his family had to be refugees in Egypt until Herod died. Jesus knew all that, and he said not to worry. You see, there are two basic ways of looking at the world. Fear and love. These two ways of looking at the world are like colored lenses and sunglasses. They color how we see everything. It seems like everyone out there views the world through fear-colored glasses and wants us to see the world that way too. If we look at the world through the dark lens of fear, then we think that the Lord has forsaken us. We feel like we're all on our own in a world full of scary things. That's terrifying. If we look at the world through the dark lens of fear, then even if we have a roof over our heads and enough food for our families, we're always worried about having enough tomorrow, or next week, or next month. If we look at the world through the dark lens of fear, then we're afraid of people less fortunate than we are, because either they want what we have, or they must be bad people whom God doesn't like, or both. If we look at the world through the dark lens of fear, then we're afraid of people more fortunate than we are, because they must have gotten rich by hurting and cheating other people. What will they do to us? If we look at the world through the dark lens of fear, then we're afraid to speak out, even about things that are clearly wrong, because somebody powerful might not like us anymore. If we look at the world through the dark lens of fear, then we spend all our time and our energy protecting the stuff we need and trying to get the stuff we don't need, but that we want. Because you see, then we can't possibly have enough of anything, because no amount of stuff or money or power can possibly be enough. The command that appears most often in Scripture is not to be afraid, and it's the least often obeyed, either in Scripture or in our world today. If we look at the world through the dark lens of fear, then fear eats up all our time and our energy. It takes over all our hearts and our souls and our minds, and we can't do anything else with them. But if we fill up our hearts and our souls and our minds with love instead of fear, we look at the world through the bright lens of love. The whole world looks different. If we look at the world through the bright lens of love, then we remember that Jesus promised he would be with us until the end of the age. If we look at the world through the bright lens of love, then we remember we are part of a holy community of faith, the one that St. Peter called a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Then we have faith that God will take care of us. So we do what comes naturally. We take care of God's children in the world. If we look at the world through the bright lens of love, then we notice God's blessings and opportunities simply because we're looking for them, and we respond accordingly. If we look at the world through the bright lens of love, then we see the stuff we have as a blessing given to us, and we use it to bless other people. We understand that money and stuff is replaceable. God's children aren't. If we look at the world through the bright lens of love, then we view strangers and people less fortunate than we are as a chance to show God's amazing grace and love. We can tell prisoners, come on out, you're free. And tell those huddled in fear, it's all right. It's safe now. We keep working to feed our families, but we also work to feed our neighbors. If we don't have enough to feed 100 people, we feed the ones we can. If we look at the world through the bright lens of love, then we take care of our children, but we also take care of other people's children. And we remember that all those people we see, they're God's children. That is what a city on a hill looks like. That is what it is like to let our light shine in the world. Every day, each of us has a choice about how we will see the world. Through the lens of fear or the lens of love. How we see the world will control our actions. So this next week, look at the world through the bright lens of love. If you do that and just do what comes naturally, you will truly be following Jesus Christ. Amen.